Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, The Bird Show.
No shortage of women lining up already.
I told you.
To go out with Trey.
I told you.
Sight unseen.
Ha! The Radio Bachelor.
Sorta. It could be. We will talk more about Trey and his best friend Joel's idea. His idea is he's got to save the date for his best friend. He's sick of hearing his best friend Trey say, this is the year I'm getting married. I'm going to find a girl. This is the year. So what Trey has done is he has gone out and he has already sent out the save the dates. Joel has done it for Trey. For a save the date for a wedding in January. All that's missing is the girl. Joel, this is your idea, so what are we missing here? What else do you need to add before we get Trey on and really sort of like contemplate if this is something we want to do or not?
You know, I think one of the things that we kind of chatted with some of his buddies about is, you know, we need to set this up a lot like The Bachelor in the fact that, you know, kind of have a screening process. I've signed him up on Facebook, MySpace, Match.com, eHarmony, all of them. So, you know, one of the things that we want to do is we want to see, you know, kind of start
SexyEncounterTonight.com.
Yeah, exactly. He's already on that one. But we want to figure out a way to kind of screen who's coming in and figure out, you know, who's obviously, because it's going to take a certain type of person that will accept Trey, because he's a handful. He's a great guy, but you know, he's somebody that
how long have the two
is
of you
a good
been,
fit.
How long have you two been dating? You and
about
Trey?
6.5 years, so on and off.
Is this your way of breaking up with him without really breaking up with him? You're just finding a girl for him now.
Well, you've got a girlfriend. You're like, look, you can't always be there, Dupree.
This is my way of quelching all those rumors in Atlanta. So.
Do you think that he wants someone like him or opposite of him? Is it like going to be an opposites attract type of thing? Because if he's like this, you know, wild, crazy, you know, out there personality, like, does he want somebody who also likes the spotlight or someone who would just give him the spotlight all the time?
You know, I think he needs somebody to share the spotlight.
Okay.
I mean, you can't date somebody that's completely opposite of Trey because it doesn't work. But he also can't have somebody that wants
steals
all the attention.
The show.
So.
Is it Trey? No, you're not wearing a diaper out.
Put the neck brace away.
Right.
That was funny a year ago.
Oh my God, another mustache? Are you kidding me?
He's the guy that in 10 years is at his you know 12-year-old football game and 12 rows deep in the stadium in a costume, completely wasted at you know 9 a.m. So if you can deal with that, you know
there's an endorsement.
You just said, just for the record, that 10 years from now, he'll be at his 12-year-old's football game.
Yeah, I'm not really good at math.
Well, I was going to say, either you're screwing up math or he's got a secret that you should tell us.
He doesn't have kids, right?
No, he's no kids. Yeah, never been married, never been engaged. So 35 and...
A virgin.
Yes, completely.
Now, Jen, your question was we got to hear from Trey here just to make sure he's into this.
Yeah, like if a girl is going to sign up to do this, we have to know he really is going to get married January 17th, 2009.
Hey, Trey.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hey, Joel. How's it going?
Hey, Trey. How's it going?
Apparently, you went to the radio station.
Welcome to the radio.
Did you know he was coming in today?
I didn't know he was coming in, but I will commend the Bird Show because you've got thousands of listeners because I've gotten about 30 texts so far from people that have heard Joel on the radio, so I caught the tail end of this.
Actually, it's one person that we have text over and over and over again, or call others over and over and over again. Yeah.
We just have a box of 30 phones here and a couple of interns.
Genius.
So Joel came in this morning, and he presented us with this idea that he's so sick of hearing you say, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. I need to find a girl. I need to get married this year, that he has a save the date for you out in Vegas in January. You know about that, right?
Yes. Now I do. I had mentioned that. Yeah, I want to get married. I'm going to get married in January, and I think he's kind of taking this full throttle now, which is kind of exciting. I guess that's one way to do it.
How many times in your relationship with him have you said that you're going to get married by whatever the date is? Whether it's, I want to get married by the end of the year, I'm going to get married next year.
Well, I've kind of said over the past few years that this is the year. But the other day we were joking around, and I was like, well, let's do it January. Let's just do it, you know, and that'll force me to get my act together and figure something out. And then I guess it's kind of escalated to this.
Right, so the theory here is that if you save a date, like if you have a specific date in your mind, like a goal date, that you'll start looking more seriously into a commitment rather than have it open-ended?
Right. Well, yes.
No more procrastinating.
No more procrastinating. That's kind of the deal. It's time to get serious and start. Yeah, it's time to grow up, guys.
So why do you want to get married?
I think that I think it's time to get married. You know, I mean, I'm 35. I've dated and got that out of my system, and I want a family eventually, and I'm not getting any younger, and I can't keep dating Joel anymore, so I gotta find a girl and get married.
Yeah, Joel has really kind of messed this whole thing up with Molly, hasn't he? Because things are going so well.
Yeah, sorry, maybe it that. Should be them that gets married in January.
No, we can probably find a second Elvis when we're in Vegas.
So, Joel, what else do we need to know? I mean, Jen's concern with you, Trey, was that you have to be 100% on board if we're going to do this, because this isn't like a three-day segment for us. This would be us following you along. This would be us trying to set you up with dates. And we've got like ADD on this show, specifically me. So if we do this for 6 months, we need to know that you're totally into it and that you're willing to commit to marrying somebody on that date in January.
Fine, let's do it next weekend. No, I'm I will get married on January 17th. I will do that. But what happens between now and then is a little scary, but I will commit to getting married on the 17th of January. I think that gives me enough time to find somebody that I can marry. I mean, you hear about the people on your show that call up and met someone on Friday, got married on Monday, been together for 96 years. So I'm believing in that. That's what I'm believing in. Goal setting as well.
Okay.
It's using the secret.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that book too.
All right. Watch the DVD. It's better.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys want to ask Trey before I let him go?
I think it's done, right?
Well, we need to know what kind of girls he's into.
No, that's not important.
Well, I think Jeff's out to get me here. Just normal girls. I'm not particular. I'm not, you know, into one type or another. Just someone that I can get along with, think chemistry. If I can find somebody with good chemistry that can make me laugh a little bit and that I find attractive, I think we're good to go.
I think some of these women are going to weed themselves out. Like, eventually, when we figure out what's going on with our website and we link on over to Trey's MySpace page and Facebook and all that and the videos, some of you women that are listening right now going, this guy's a great catch, are going to look at it and you're going to go, he's a great catch for somebody else, because it's gonna take a specific woman. I mean, based on what these guys like to do and how goofy they are and stuff, it's gonna take a specific woman.
But on that, I think somebody's gonna go on your website, look at the video, and go, "Oh my God, this is my dream guy." I mean, not anybody in this room, obviously. Maybe Jeff, but I mean, obviously, you'll see by the and those of you who have hung out with him or seen him dancing in a Speedo on top of his bus on the Peachtree Road Race, or, you know, seen all the stupid things that he does on a regular basis, there are plenty of girls out there that will chase him down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was literally, it was 5:15 this morning, and I was watching some of these videos, and I was laughing out loud at 5:15 this morning. So if I was a woman, I'd be totally into you.
Yeah, if you're a girl and you like to laugh, that's cool. If you're into looks, don't go to my major whatever goal is set up.
I think Wendy does pose a good question, though. I mean, you said regular girl, but like, are you looking like age range?
Age doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm right, kind of right there in the middle, I guess. Or in the, I mean, you know, 65 and up might be a little difficult, but you know, whatever. It's more of the chemistry, I think, than you know, specific age. I mean, obviously, I'm 35, so they have to be somewhat mature, even though I'm not, to carry this relationship. But you know, it's just, you see somebody you're into, I guess you go with it. I don't know.
Again, there are no shortage of calls to go out with them. Hey, Amy, you're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I have to say that this has really piqued my interest. I'm 33, divorced. I've been divorced for 5 years. I don't do a lot of dating because I don't meet people that I feel are worth my time. I love hanging out with people who make me laugh. That is the best. And that part is what has piqued my interest. Because he's apparently just a blast to be around.
Now, from our standpoint, if we're batting this around a little bit to see if it's something that we want to do, the key for us, what she said right there, if she's right for him or not, is he's piqued my interest.
Right.
So ratings-wise, it would be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to think about.
Well, I mean, I'm just doing this for you guys.
Yeah, you're nothing but a piece of meat to us.
Thank you.
Trey, you are going to be somebody sleepless in Seattle, by the way.
Fair enough.
Could happen.
What does that mean?
Don't you remember the movie?
Somebody's listening
right now. She heard him on the radio.
Yeah, man.
Sorry.
You haven't watched it 400 times like every girl ever?
No.
I haven't even seen it.
What?
I haven't.
Wendy, you're not allowed to be a girl if you haven't seen Sleepless in Seattle.
I haven't seen Sleepless.
Joel's seen it 1,000 times.
You guys have watched it together, I'm assuming, a couple of dozen times.
Yeah, we watched that one in the bathtub.
With candles.
All right, so what's our next step here? Do we wait until we can get a link on up to... Well, I don't even think we need that. Like, do we want to...
I think we just figure out how we're going to do it. Are we going to do it bachelor slash bachelorette style? Like, are we going to narrow down the top 25 and then narrow those down over time?
Well, we don't have to brainstorm it now. I think we have a conversation about it. And then let's circle back, as the people who like meetings like to say. Let's circle back here this time next week, and we'll get caught up to where we are, and we'll all be on the same page. Circle back.
I'd like to kind of up the ante a little bit and say, why don't we open this up to the Burt Show community and let them vote on who's going to...
Well, that's a great idea. That would be, on any other given day, a great idea. But our website is so jacked up right now.
But over the course of time, though,
over the next couple of days,
I think if we're going to do this, we do it for real. Like, I think we let Trey pick the girl. I just think
we narrowed.
I don't know about that. Guys.
I think we work together to narrow it down.
Yeah, so. I think we narrow down the pool and then we do it like.
Yeah, I think the details are inconsequential now.
Yes.
I think what we just have to agree on right now is, A, do we want to roll with this? Does it have enough legs for 6 months, y'all?
I know
how we are.
I know.
Does
how
this,
you are.
How I am. Is this going to be entertaining for all of us and for our listeners for 6 months?
I mean, the question. I think so.
Yes.
I think so.
I think the fact
that the date is set, Joel's reserved the rooms, he's printed the save the dates. I mean, I think that that is like what's making it more real. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, I want to find her, and this is like sort of like this loose, you know, like unpredictable ending. Like, the ending is already set. It's just between here and there, and I think that that's what will keep our interest in it.
Sure.
And because you know him and like him and think that he's really funny.
And you're going to be a groomsman.
And I'm going to be a groomsman.
And you'll be in the wedding.
And it's a reason to go to Vegas, so I'm in.
And it's a reason to, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Can I be a bridesmaid?
Absolutely.
Now we're all in.
I want to be the flower girl.
Perfect. I'm an ordained minister.
So yeah, actually, oh really? I was gonna say Joby's gonna get ordained. So basically the premise is on the 17th we show up in the lobby of the hotel at 5-6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We go to dinner. Everybody absolutely has to dress up in costume. Then we go get completely plowed, and then we're gonna reserve the rooms are reserved around 5 a.m. the next morning. So
okay,
so we actually won't get married until 5 a.m. on Sunday.
Beautiful. Now, the key for me here, Trey, is once again, I need to hear the words come out of your mouth that you will get married on that date.
I will get married on that date.
Then this is done for me.
Hey, The Burt Show.
So Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, husband and wife, each with somebody else. Now, they've said that the secret to the success of their 11-year marriage is that they have an open relationship. And Will Smith is talking to Reveal magazine, and he says, quote, "Our perspective is you don't avoid what's natural, and you're going to be attracted to people. And if it came down to it, then one would say to the other, look, I need to have sex with somebody, and now I'm going to. And I'm not going to if you don't approve of it." Will Smith says that their open policy has been in place from day one in their 10-year marriage.
How many pretty much has to be, don't you think?
How many Atlanta people are upset that they didn't know that about Will when he was here for our concert a couple Christmases ago?
And you could have hooked up.
You could have made a move, but you're probably respectful of Jada. Everything was cool. Saw him at Phillips Arena or wherever he hung out afterwards. And you go to Vision, I think, afterwards.
Something.
Like, you may have saw
him
there.
That's right, he did. I forgot about that.
High-fived him at the club, but you could have.
You were thinking to yourself, if there just wasn't Jade, I could hook up. I could get that. Well, you could have anyway.
Yeah, you could have, but she would have had to know about it first. Now, Will Smith said, in our marriage vows, we didn't say forsaking all others. We said, you will never hear I did something afterwards, because if that happens, the relationship is destroyed. So other things he says are important in his relationship. He says he keeps in shape for his little firecracker, Jada. So he hits the gym, looks good. He said the look in her eyes and communications is what has kept them together for 11 years.
You know, I'm listening to you tell the story, and I have a question to ask here. I'm wondering if there's anybody listening that is in the same type marriage right now, but you've never taken advantage of the offer. So, like, in my mind, this is how it plays out, is that Jada thinks... This is Jada's idea. And she thinks, look, when you have the keys to the kingdom, when you hide those from somebody, all of a sudden you need, it's like, it becomes this real prize. So the theory here is that if you offer up, look, go ahead. You know, we've got an open marriage right now. If you want to sleep with other women, I don't want you to feel guilty about it. Just tell me about it first. So he feels free to go ahead and sleep with other women, but he never takes her up on it.
So it's just because the offer is there, it seems less inviting.
Right. Now,
some parents
I'm
do
totally
this.
Fabricating this, so who knows if this is the case. So for just
conversation's sake.
For conversation's sake.
Some parents do this with cussing around their kids. Like, if you don't make a huge deal about cuss words and swearing, then the kid doesn't realize that it's a big deal to use those words. So doesn't use them any more than you would use regular words. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in this kind of relationship, and I guess I'm specifically maybe even talking to men, and your wife has said, look, if you want to sleep around, look, I understand. Guys, it's, maybe her theory is it's human nature. I mean, guys need to have sex with more than one woman. It's human nature. I understand it. I don't want to take that away from your human nature. But you as a guy have never taken her up on it because the offer has been there.
If you want to call in for anything else, too, the lines are wide open.
I don't think we'll get any calls on it. I really don't.
Because you think if the offer's there, they would have taken them up on it?
Especially the guys.
I wonder
or
if...
Or just the offers just aren't there.
I wonder if the offer was there from Jada or from whomever.
Mm-hmm.
And the agreement is that you have to tell the wife before you sleep with another woman, but you are allowed to do it. My hunch is that guys still do it and still don't tell the wife.
That he, but even though he has the open door,
even has the open door policy, I still don't think
you have to.
Well, don't they both?
I don't
have
think
the
he would.
Open door.
They
both do. I'm just assuming that.
What's fascinating?
This
is
not based on fact.
Is the very first time that it comes up, like whoever the first person is that has to go to the other. Hey, Jada, you know that thing we talked about? And then, because you got to, there's going to be some anger that. Oh yeah, so you're real quick to act on that. We haven't even been married a year and a half. You already found a girl that you want to be with.
And then she's going to run down the girl that you're going to hook up with.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right. She's got to find out what she looks like.
Personal assistant's cousin? That girl? That hoe? Better looking than me? Do what you got to do.
Or as we call it, she's going to get all Shirley Franklin in her face.
Hey, Curtis.
I'm seeing the Philadelphia side of me.
Hey, Curtis, do you want to be on The Voice Disguiser? Just a quick yes or no?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So you have one of these kind of marriages.
Yeah, actually, my wife and I have an approved list. They have to be approved before.
What makes them approved or not approved?
She has to approve of them.
How does the approval process go?
She just has to know them and know they're not like a slut and sleep around.
So do you, like, have, will you call, like, a dinner with your wife and this potential sex partner and they all sit down and y'all talk and then your wife either gives the green light? Or red light?
Well, she'll just say if we're around somebody, she'll know, and she'll say, you know, you can go ahead if you want to.
Really? And there's no jealousy issues afterwards?
No.
Have you ever taken her up on the offer?
I haven't yet, but she's pushed me to, and I've never done it, but she's pushed me towards like a certain friend of ours.
Wow.
Go ahead, you know, but I haven't done it yet.
And how long has this agreement been in place between the two of you?
About 2 years. We've been married for 5 years. We've been together for 7.
And I'm just trying to get to something here. The fact that she made the offer, does it make sleeping around less appealing?
It makes it less appealing. Yeah, it does. I guess I don't know. I mean, to me, it would still feel like I was cheating on my wife.
If you cheated or if you slept with somebody else, would you really tell your wife beforehand?
Of course.
You would.
You'd have to.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to find out anyway.
But the bottom line here is that you feel freer, and you don't, I mean, you feel like...
The temptation's not there anymore
because you got the green light.
Yeah, and it kind of just takes the temptation away, you know?
That is interesting.
It's a funny psychology trick.
Now, if you're listening to the show, be very careful with this information.
Yeah.
Well, you know what,
you better know your husband really well.
Wonder how many couples are going to go home tonight and say, did you hear the Burt Show this morning?
Good morning, Michael. You're on Q100. Do you want to be on The Voice Disguiser?
Nah.
Okay. So you and your wife have the same agreement?
Yeah, she's giving me a free one-night stand card, but I gave it back to her because I care too much about her. She said that if I used it, that I would not have to tell her about it. And she just didn't want to know about it.
And how long have you been married?
2 years, the 4th of next month.
And she said anytime you want to have a one-night stand, does she want to know about it beforehand?
No, she don't want to know about it, period.
But you have the green light, and it makes it less appealing.
Yeah, I've given her the card back. I told her I don't want to do it.
She physically made you a card?
No, I mean, just kind of like a get-out-of-jail-free card, just pretend.
How great would that be to go to a bar and just pull the card out and go, hey, my wife gave me this. My wife gave me this card, and I think you're real pretty. So I'm wondering if we could have a one-night stand on account. I got this card right here from my wife.
Could you stamp it?
Please. We don't even have to tell her. You just have to have a one-night stand with me.
I think it's really interesting that these guys have the green lights, like every guy. You know, talk's a great game. Oh, if my wife would just let me have that deal. Well, what we're hearing is when you have the deal, you don't use it.
You don't want it.
Right. Good morning, Matt. You're on Q100.
Hey.
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 Now, we did, I was in a relationship. It didn't last. But it was about a 5-year relationship, and we had that deal. But it was her idea, and she wasn't a very outgoing person, so I figured nothing really come of it. But she acted upon it a couple times, and I never did. So now I'm kind of kicking myself because about 2 months after we broke up, she got engaged to one of the guys.
Oh,
so,
no kidding. Okay.
No. And the circumstances about the breakup were kind of nasty, involving certain medical tests. So.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
I'm sort of glad we took this call because, I mean, based on the other ones, everything's fine. Nobody really takes you up on it.
You know what would be fascinating would be to talk to people who have this in one direction in their relationship.
So one person is allowed to screw around, the other one is not?
Where the husband has said to the wife, you know what, if we get married, you can go do what you want to do. Get it out of your system. But I'm going to remain faithful to you.
Oof.
That sounds like a massive guilt trip right there. You go ahead. You do what you want, honey. If that's what you really want to do, you go ahead and do it. She don't really mean that.
Right.
Hey, Craig, you're on Q100.
Hey, good morning, Bo Show.
Good morning.
Hey, we have that type of arrangement, sort of. It's just on my end that I'm free to do it. I have to let her know beforehand, and she has a predetermined list of people, of her friends, that I'm allowed to go ahead with.
Now, so wait a minute. Is it a situation where you go to her and you're like, hi, I would like to go with our friend Shelly? And she's like, oh, she's not on the list, but you think she's hot? You think you can get her? And then it starts to be a fight? Like, you have to guess?
Well, no, I already know the list, and I already know the people, and we've been married 11 years, and this came about at a New Year's party, actually, about 8 years ago, and the list has grown since we've had new friends and met new people and everything, and the list it started out, I think, at 3, and now it's up to, I think, 6.
It's like a menu.
Is she putting women on there that she knows you're not going to be attracted to?
No. Her friend's a lot.
Come on.
Well, and how many times have you taken her up on it?
His sister.
Yeah. Only one.
Only one time. But you have taken her up on it.
Yes, I have.
So it doesn't support that theory.
And like I said, I think it's up to 6 now. 4 of them are married and 2 are single.
Which one did you have the
One of the single ones. Actually, her best friend.
And are you glad you did it in the end?
Those Satan.
No. At the time, yeah, but no, not now.
So how does
they're still friends and everything. And everything's just like normal.
So how does this work? You go back to your wife and you're like, hey, I just want to let you know it's going to happen between Jen and I tonight. And then on Friday night, you end up going out with Jen.
At that point, it was like a week advance. I told her like a week before it happened. So.
That week would be hell in my house.
How did she act towards you that week?
It was fine.
And how is it when the three of you are around each other right now?
It's just like it was before.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's a maturity.
They're still best friends. They've been best friends since like third grade. And,
when you're
32 now. So
when you're hanging out with them, do you in your mind go, "I've touched all those breasts"?
Yeah, me and her best friend and her fiance now. We're actually going out Friday night. So
does your wife have the chance to be with her fiance?
Negative. No. So
she does not have a list.
It only works on my end.
Really?
She didn't come up with the idea. It was her idea. So.
Lord have mercy.
Doesn't seem real fair.
Because I've like got to have it all the time, and she's like, "Eh." Her sex drive is not as strong as mine. So
that's working for you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Kelly was gonna say, but her phone dropped out. That it makes Will want Jada more and shows Jada's confidence that she would give him this card, which is sort of what we found out in the beginning of those calls. Like once you have the card, you don't necessarily take it.
Well, this last guy did, though.
The last guy sure did, but he said he regretted it.
Like you said earlier, you just have to be careful about the offers that you make, right?
Be real careful.
The Bird Show.
And the email reads like this. Dear Bird Show, I'm having a debate with the co-owner of my company that I'm hoping your show can help with. I can never call in because the subject matter alone would definitely make some never use our business. Without giving away too much, we're a medium-sized company. What we specialize in is of no consequence, but most of our day is spent in business meetings in or out of our office. Our clients are roughly 65% men and 35% women. We both have to agree on the hiring of every, and that's capitalized, every employee. Up until now, we've never really disagreed, and because we have the same business philosophy, we've become successful quickly. Here's our debate. We're in the process of hiring a receptionist. Not a huge decision, right? But for whatever reason, we've both really become strong-headed about which employee should get the job. The receptionist that I want to hire has a fairly solid resume. She's worked at a handful of reputable Atlanta businesses, and she's armed with good references. And she's very attractive. Very attractive. The receptionist that he is endorsing has a great resume as well, probably slightly better than the receptionist I want to hire. She's been a receptionist at a few more big-name companies in Atlanta than receptionist number one, and she, too, comes with solid references, but she's not attractive at all. We're both married, and this has nothing to do with sexual attraction. Strictly from a business debate, my belief is that a receptionist is a potential client's first impression. His feeling is that it's way more important to have a receptionist that we know will be able to handle all the small details that go along with this job. His feeling is that the less attractive employee is a more qualified fit. I can agree that I'd be slightly more confident in the less attractive employee's skills, but for me, her much better looks are way more of an advantage than her slightly less qualified resume. Remember, this is a receptionist. Any input you guys could provide would be fantastic. We'll both be listening, unnamed listener.
So there's the debate.
Do you hire as the receptionist? Now, keep in mind what the position is.
Mm-hmm.
Your first line of defense, I guess it's sort of a marketing decision.
It is the first impression that you have of any business, whether that's going into a doctor's office, going into a corporate company, going into a retail store, wherever it is, that is your first impression.
The only where this debate is going to go is people will say, okay, well, if it's your first impression, but does that mean that restaurants should only hire attractive servers?
Most of them only hire attractive hostesses.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What about retail stores? They only hire attractive people to sell the clothes?
Well, I think that, I think that the people who are the greeters, like at the front of the store, are definitely more attractive.
I think it
doesn't apply.
I've been to Walmart.
Maybe Walmart.
I've seen the greeters.
That might be the best of the employees that they have to choose
maybe
from.
Maybe 1922, she was hot.
That's a retiree program at Walmart. But
it's hard to see her around the cloud of smoke that forms around her oxygen tank.
But if your first line, the first impression that you have of the company is the receptionist. What this is saying is that, look, they're not that far different.
Resume-wise.
Their qualification-wise, it's not that crazy different. He says, yes, the less better-looking receptionist is probably a little more qualified, and my company's probably in better hands with her. But the fact that the other one is so good-looking, and for this specific position, receptionist, she's the first that's going to greet everybody, that supersedes her experience.
See, I just wonder where he... like where he defines attractive, because I think that attractive can be defined in how you present yourself. Like, you know, mm-hmm. if you, you know, like my mom would call it like, do you groom yourself well, you know, because I think any people of any sort of shape, size, whatever it is, can groom themselves well, wear nice accessories, wear, you know, I mean, because both of these receptionists are female, so wear nice makeup, have their hair done nicely, you know what I'm saying? So if one or the other is either doing that or not doing that, then I would say go with the person who is more well-groomed, because that is a put-together look at the front of your business.
And you can't really hire somebody and have the conversation either right before or right after they're hired saying, hey, I just want to let you know that if we hire you, you're going to have to clean it up a little bit. See your hair right there? You're going to have to clean yourself up, make yourself a little more attractive.
No.
You can't have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Either you have that before you get hired or you don't.
Yeah, it's either part of the job description or it's not.
Hey, Deanna.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think about this?
I think that they should hire the less attractive one. First of all, people aren't coming in there with sex on their mind. They're coming in there, they're about to do business.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, really, it all just goes back to the skills. I mean, she's more skilled than the rest of them.
Slightly more skilled than the other one. So you say go with a less attractive person because it's about business.
Good morning, Stephanie. You're on Q100.
Hi.
Hello.
I work for a promotional company, and I'm in charge of hiring. And everybody that we hire, we do have to make sure that they're qualified for the job. But one of the qualifications is that you have to be an attractive person, because what you look like is the first thing that people see.
There are some industries where this is going to be more important than others. You remember that case we talked about a long time ago, and I think it was a Bally's. And there was a case where there was a cardio teacher that was by far in the best cardio shape of any of the instructors at this specific Bally's, right? Mm-hmm. She was the best instructor they had, but they let her go because she didn't fit the Bally's image. She wasn't thin. She was sort of overweight. She didn't look like she was doing cardio for 4 hours a day. So we debated this back and forth, and I think Bally's went to court and they actually won the case.
Right.
Because that was part of their job description to start with.
It's part of marketing, you know. When you're a fitness instructor, part of the image is this is what we can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
And if your cardio instructor doesn't look ideally like you are hoping to look, then that's counterproductive to their brand and their image.
Don't you wish they would have had that with like high school gym coaches and stuff too?
Oh.
Did you guys ever have really unhealthy PE teachers and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mine were the picture of good health.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. God, mine couldn't have been more different.
Couldn't have been
that.
Worse.
Yeah, we had, I mean, I remember our gym teachers, our elementary school gym teacher, I believe his name was Mr. Klein, and he was a little intense for coaching fourth graders. Like, just a little bit, like, he really wanted us to go from fourth grade to the Summer Olympics. And I remember that. And then we got into high school, and our gym teachers didn't care. I mean, they were like, hey, presidential fitness test, you know, coming up next week. You guys want to play kickball or train for that?
Our gym teachers, like, in junior high school, were always just a little bit creepy to the girls.
Oh,
they were the good-looking ones, but it was always just a stare that lasted a little bit too long.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of teaching you how to swing that tennis racket from behind.
Oh,
just
gross.
A little too long, and we all knew it, you pervs. Good morning, Q100.
Hey, guys, good morning. This is Katie. How are you?
Good,
hey, Katie.
How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, no, I was just going to make a comment. I used to work for a staffing company here in Atlanta, And, you know, basically we would have clients call in and, you know, they would basically say it without saying it. You know, I want a polished and presentable candidate. And, you know, that would kind of tell us, you know, and they would look at the resumes and they would ask, you know, well, what's their presentation? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think, you know, I understand from their viewpoint that they want someone who is going to, you know, because when you walk in a company, that's the first person you see and that greets you. And if they're not polished, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they have to be drop dead gorgeous in a 10, but if they're not polished, kind of what Jen was saying earlier, you know, it kind of puts that first thought in their mind.
I think that's right, because I think presentation means, you know, anybody and everybody can have a good presentation. If you put yourself together well, if you dress sharply, if you, you know, take care of what you have and, you know, put your best foot forward, I think that that can make you more attractive. You know, if you're a naturally attractive person, but you don't do anything with yourself and you come in looking sloppy and you got, you know, old mascara under your eyes from 3 days ago, like, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if you're more naturally attractive. It's, I think it's just the way that you put yourself together.
Hey, Hannah, you're on Q100.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not calling myself a beauty queen, but I'm a very attractive person. And I've worked in a lot of customer service, and I found that, and I have a great resume. I've done a lot, but I found it harder, you know, with my hair done great and my makeup done great and a great outfit. People assume that I'm a ditz.
Really?
So sometimes it's hard to get the job, even when you're pretty or when you're not pretty.
Look, this kind of discrimination goes on both ways, because one of the most controversial calls we took over the last couple of years was, do you remember that one dude that called up and said that he wouldn't hire the attractive woman
because
he didn't want the temptation. He and his business partner didn't want the temptation in the office. They're both married, and they didn't want to think that, look, I don't want to have all these thoughts about her. Maybe something will come of this relationship. So they hire nothing but, like, unattractive people.
And it's hard because the first month that you're there at a new job, you have to get, you know, all the bright guys to leave you alone and understand that you're there to do work and not, you know, mess around with them on the lunch break or when you get to work, or you're not there to chit-chat all day long. And, you know, I don't want to go to lunch with y'all. I don't want to hang out. I'm here to come to work. We don't have to be boyfriend and girlfriend because I look nicer than the receptionist that was here before.
Do you find yourself dressing down on interviews and once you get the job also?
I do. Mm. I have had to because if I do too much, I look over the top. So, and it can be in a nice suit and just, you know, plain jewelry and calm down hair, and it's still, I look like a representative for, you know, a pageant show. So
I really want that problem. I really want to say at one point, you know what, they turned me down because I'm too good looking.
I'm going into this job interview, I'm going to have to ugly myself down.
Yeah.
You know, I worked at a company once where they were having some issues with the receptionist that had been there a long time, who was like kind of having like, I don't know, I guess you could say like attitude problems or whatever. And so the boss
can't be a receptionist with an attitude problem.
Yeah. Well, the boss like bought a plaque that said Director of First Impressions, and like
it really
it was
is.
Sort of like her kind of heads up of going like, hey,
which way did it face?
It faced her.
Message on both sides.
It was a reminder.
All right, one more call here. Good morning, Amy. You're on Q100.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
I'm just a little disappointed, you know, at society once again. They've let me down. When the other caller was like, you know, you have to be pretty, and then, I mean, is that where the ugly people supposed to go? You know, where are they supposed to work? Walmart? I mean, that just, it's ridiculous.
Well, I think that there are some jobs, like I said before, that it's more important for you to be good looking than in other jobs.
Right.
I mean, if I'm sitting behind a computer all day, then...
I mean, who was the owner or the manager? How are you going to deem me cute or not cute?
I guess
what's attractive, what's attractive, and what's not attractive?
Well, I guess they
my
have their
skills
own.
Are the most important.
What do you think about the whole like presentation conversation?
Okay, if you are groomed, like the other caller said, you know, no piercings on the face, that kind of thing. Your hair, you know, is I guess washed, and you have nice clothes on. I don't see what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's a marketing decision, and your model for what's good looking is going to vary from
who you are.
Who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the model also is going to change from business to business.
That's true.
So if you're if you're the owner of this company, do you hire the better looking woman, less qualified, or better qualified, not as good looking?
I would go with the better looking woman because, I mean, it is the, as Jen said, the director of first impressions. But the bottom line is, we're not talking about a high brain power job here. So
that's not necessarily true.
Well,
I think
I mean,
it can be a very difficult job depending on how many people you're a receptionist for.
Sometimes those receptionists are the ones really that run the office.
Are we talking about receptionist or are we talking about administrative assistant secretary type duties?
This just says receptionist.
So receptionist, your job is to answer the phone, greet the people, direct the people to the right direction, probably distribute some mail or memos or stuff like that. Now, if it's a different job where the duties are more administrative, then I would look more at qualifications. But I mean, if you're the size and the size and importance of the company on your resume, if your job is to answer phones and patch people through to voicemail,
hire the better looking one, you're saying?
Yep.
Jen?
Ooh, it's a difficult decision because I think it does have to do with presentation. So it's not like necessarily who's naturally more attractive or not. It's just who presents themselves the best and who can handle that job. And I don't want to minimize the job of a receptionist. I think it can be a very, very difficult job to juggle a lot of different things.
All right, so, Senator Hobby, who are you hiring?
I know, it's hard.
I don't want
to
say it, but
choose.
It's the better looking person.
Senator Hobby, who are you hiring?
Say it.
Say it.
God, you're a coward.
Come on.
Spit it out.
Say it.
Probably the more attractive candidate.
There you go. Feels good, doesn't it? Say it. Better looking people are better.
No, that is not true. It's for that position.
In this position.
Get it. The Bert Show.